to do. All right, Bill Lasky joins us, of course, from CSN Bay Area, former pitcher for the San Francisco Giants and the head of the fantasy camp, and a good friend. Bill, how are you?
Marty, you're going to the bullpen after you lost Sean Estes, huh?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it, and, you know, am I on the CSN payroll or something now?
Yeah, you know? Can I say that? Are you the new Greg Papa?
Really? That's all I got to do is have him on next, and I don't even mention his name, but I like going trivia with Papa. I can go toe-to-toe with him.
Oh, I've been in the middle of listening to those, too. Those have been some good ones, too.
Yeah, pretty good. You know, I was thinking about last night, when you played, you know, the Giants Nation now is all over the place. So you see it in spring training. We see it. You comment on it. When you played, was there a park on the road where the Giants fans showed up, like anything like what we have going on now?
Oh, nothing like it is now. You'd have a handful of people here and there. The Dodger series, you'd always have people down in L.A., but not really San Diego. San Diego's been like the Northern California San Francisco fan base. I mean, you look down there, you heard the chants yesterday. The chants of Let's Go Giants was louder than the Let's Go Padres. So, and that's been for a while, though, probably the last few years. And I think a couple of people talked about it earlier. I think going to the ballpark, the new ballpark down there in the middle of San Diego, you can go to different establishments around the ballpark. It's a great venue down there. And, you know, what a great city San Diego is. And, you know, I love how they do the military thing. I think that was done when we were playing, too. They bring the military in on Sundays, and it was so cool. And they all got up and stood up and saluted and walked out in rows and marched out. You know, it was a real good pat on the back to the military, and San Diego does a great job for that.
Yeah, they do. Let's see tomorrow if Pagan gets a double and salutes, whether they stand up and salute back.
That's a good one.
Let's see what happens if they get into it tomorrow. That would be a good thing for them to do. Hey, the pitching is starting to click in, and I was thinking about it. And, you know, I've studied baseball for so many years and talked about it, and I love the nuances of the game. Early in a season, pitchers ahead of hitters or hitters ahead of pitchers? Now, we only played 23 games. And, of course, early in the year we had big-time pitchers getting whacked around pretty good. Now, all of a sudden, Giants starting pitching is starting to click in. Matt Harvey, I mentioned Zimmerman, Gonzalez, back-to-back one-hitters. What's the story from your perspective early in the season? Who's got the advantage?
Well, early in the season, I definitely believe the pitchers do. Now, as the weather starts getting warmer, the month of May and June start coming up, the hitting starts equaling out. The averages, you're getting over 100 bats now, so you're starting to see the hitters in the lineup hitting better, who they hit against better. You know, the matchups come up more and more. But I really believe now, you know, the cold weather's still in the Midwest and the East Coast, so that always advantage of the pitcher. You know, back in Candlestick days on the windy, cold nights, the advantage always went to the pitcher. But at the same time, I think as the weather warms up, the bats start warming up, and I think that's when the bats start equaling to the pitching.
Okay.
But again, you know, it's still, you know, last part of April, early part of May. You know, it's probably evening out closer as we get into May.
What did you see with Lincecum last night? And I know you're a student of the game.
I love Lincecum. You know, I said this early in the season. I said Lincecum just needs to get a few games under his belt where he gets his confidence back. And you said it earlier, 4 or 5 starts, then you'll believe in him. I really believe he's starting to get the magic back. 2 games in a row, throwing pitches, you know, threw a 3-2 changeup to end the inning in the 7th. I thought that was a spot-on changeup. You know, again, Posey has that little flair behind him to calm him down. You know, we talked about it earlier. I think he was so herky-jerky, and I didn't think Sanchez had that mix this year like he had last year. And, you know, it could have been not, you know, catching so much in the spring training. And now I think Lincecum's a believer of Posey. And, you know, you talk year after year, oh, they don't get along, they don't do this, they don't match up. It's really just how the pitcher and the catcher is in sync. Once you get that confidence factor in your catcher, you don't shake off that much, and you believe in what he wants to throw in different situations, and all you have to do is just have the confidence of what you're throwing, your pitches, when you want to throw them, how you want to throw them, and let the catcher just guide you through the game.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. After he gave up the 3 hits, Rigetti came out and talked to him, and then he struck out the next hitter. And he did it with off-speed stuff. And, you know, and he started early in the count, and that was D'Onofrio, who's a tough hitter.
I like him. I like him as a leadoff hitter. He's a good little ball
player. Isn't he good? Yeah, he's leading off tonight against Zito. But I've said this before, and you know, in my own limited way of knowing about pitching, I just think Lincecum's got to mix it up more and not get in trouble with that fastball.
I talk about him throwing a cross-seam fastball to try to get ahead instead of always the whiff-seam fastball, because that has a tendency when you overthrow it, it moves out of the strike zone more, and it has a hard pitch to control. Going to a cross-seam fastball, it's more of a straight shot that he could maybe get some speed back with that. But again, I think it's just slowing his mechanics down just a tad. He's a herky-jerky. He'll never get it completely slowed down. But you got to see the glove, and I think the herky-jerky, you can't – he's just throwing, and hopefully he'll go in the strike zone. And I think that had a lot to do with his problems last year. Hopefully these last two starts, he's building that confidence back where I can throw this at this time, I can throw this at this time, and then at the same time, I'm confident to throw my changeup at any time, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's... The majority of his pitches, his curveball was snapping yesterday. One bad inning, and I really thought they were going to come back, but 19 hitters in a row, I was sitting there going, what is going on here? And then Posey gets the base hit and right to right field in the ninth inning. But again, they didn't click. And, you know, you talked about earlier, hitting is contagious and it goes in flukes. And they're just in a rut right now. And the only thing I don't like about this lineup tonight, Marty, is Belt, Crawford, and Zito, three lefties at the base of that lineup. When you threw Torres in there, you let it have a little mixture in there.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I don't like with Torres going up to the sixth hole, because then you got Belt, Crawford, and Zito, all left-handers.
Well,
and this pitcher's tough. This pitcher's tough. I watched him at AT&T when he threw last time here. He snaps the ball pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't walk you. You're going to have to hit to get on against this guy. And Posey had a two-run homer against him.
Correct.
When Sean was on and Bruce Jenkins was on, we were talking about shortstops. And, you know, Crawford now, his hands are so smooth for me. And I realize in the Matt Cain game, the first ball he booted. And it's the first time he's done that in a while. But I asked Sean this, the best shortstop you ever had behind you. And Sean talked about just the reliability of when the ball's on the ground, I want you to catch it. Who was the best you had behind you?
Well, I had the great Johnny LeMaster for many years.
God. Well, I'm going to get tweets about this from the sons of Johnny
of
Lee.
A lot of people didn't, you know, really see Johnny Lee every day. That guy had some real sweet hands. And I had, you know, Juan Uribe. I had Uribe for the first couple of years when he was there. And like you said, he wasn't flashy. And him and Robbie Thompson at second base were a great pair. You know, just a couple of those guys, that's really who I had, you know, in the Giants in the 80s and mid-80s. And when Uribe came, it was a different kind of shortstop. But, you know, good gloves and, you know, spot-on throws. And, you know, it was, you know, I had Johnny LeMaster and Manny Trillo up the middle. So, you know,
that's not bad.
Manny Trillo could pretty pick, too. And, you know, he had Kuiper there, Joe Morgan. I pitched with a lot of those guys. So those are the classics. And let me tell you, Dwayne Kuiper could play a little second base. You know, people don't give him the pat on the back. That man could backhand a ball up the middle and flip it pretty good. So Dwayne has some good range at second base when he played.
Well, Giant defense, you know, and I keep score, and you do too. You know, I got the big scorecard, and I put a star whenever I see a good defensive play. And last night I had about three or four of them. Sandoval had a couple of them. Crawford had a couple of double play, and Crawford went in the hole early in the game. I mean, just about every game now I'm starting to see some really nice defensive plays, and I think that's a good sign early in the season.
It is. And you know, the more confidence you see with your infield, I mean, Sean hit it right on the head. I want my best hands out there. I don't want a guy that's hitting 400 and can't catch a ball in the outfield. You know, and that's you know, when you look at some of the lineups, you have some clankers that are playing in some positions. And a pitcher always wants the best nine out there with the best gloves. And right now, I think they are. And with the platoon of Blanco and Torres, you're not really missing much. I love when Blanco goes down and catches the low line drives. I think that's spectacular. And Torres just has that fleet speed. He could play, you know, I thought he was one of the best center fielders before Pagan came to play AT&T, because he could go left or right and get him.
A good game tonight. This is fun. Zito and Stultz tonight, and Zito hasn't pitched well down there. But if he gets that cutter in and, you know, gets it on their hands, I say it again. I've said it last week, even though the Giants swept them. This is the Padre team. You don't want to get in a bullpen game with them.
No, absolutely not. They got some arms down there. And Marty, you and I were both at that Zito game when he played at AT&T, and I was just trying to see how he would come back after that Milwaukee game. It didn't affect him that first inning. I thought it was a major first inning to get that three outs and get him settled in. And he pitched really good. I really felt he pitched off speed when he needed to, the big hook when he got in front. And I thought he pitched very well coming back from that Brewer game.
And the key is pitching. He's starting to pitch again. Hey, this is start number.
The key to Barry Zito, and I always say, and people go, "That's pretty general, Bill. Throw strikes."
Yeah. Well, for him, he has to trust it to throw a strike.
Yeah, and all the games you look back, walking six or seven or eight guys, this doesn't do it, and he can get away with two or three at the most, but he has to command that strike zone with what he throws.
Well, he'll be 35 years old May 13th. I think he could pitch another 5 years. 163 wins right now, and this is start number 399 in his career.
Wow.
How about
that? That's cool. That's really cool.
Vida
and I, we're big Barry Zito fans. We were happy with it. He came back last year, and that game, number one, World Series, was one of the best games I've seen him come in, and the confidence factor. And you know, all through spring training, you and I talked about this. He had a great spring training, and he's brought it right on in to the season. And you throw the Brewer game out, he's been great every game. So hopefully he will continue tonight. They need a win today. Losing three, and they played three good games.
Yeah.
But they need a win tonight. They need to break this up and get into Vogelsong tomorrow. And Vogelsong needs to put some big zeros up tomorrow.
Yeah, because they're going into Arizona after that. That's not going to be easy. Hey, Bill, thank you so much. And if you're up early tomorrow, we'll give you a jingle tomorrow.
All right, Marty, you take care. And go Giants, man. We need a win tonight.
All right. Bill Lasky, thank you. Thanks, Bill.